We're going to read several Bible verses throughout the message, but I think every single one of them is going to be worth it to lay the foundation that we need. When you and I gave our life to God, when we surrendered to whatever God wants for us, especially, there has been a great change in many of our lives, really all of our lives, but externally, some of us even more than others, a great change in our life after we do that. Our life looks way different than it would have had we continued living for ourselves. That's for sure. As a matter of fact, just kind of a little foundation I want to lay here, the Bible gives some specifics. I just want to go over a few things that the Bible says are going to happen when we get saved, and then I'll circle back to the end, but just laying this foundation. When we get saved, here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 17, the Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Webster's 1828 defines that word creature. There's several definitions, but one of them says a dependent, a person who is subject to the will or influence of another. So that means when we get saved, we're going to have a different authority. We used to obey ourselves and do what we want. You saw the people in the video. They said things like, there is some truth, just not what the church believes. Or, I think whatever you believe is right or wrong, that's probably how you get to heaven. And you hear answers like that, and it sounds silly. It doesn't even make sense. Why would we get to be God, essentially? But before you and I got saved, we probably had a lot of the same ideas, right? Just God loves me, I'm not that bad of a person, and it'll probably all work out okay, right? And you see that at one point in time, we were under our own authority, but when we get saved, we become under the authority of God. And submitting is a hard thing to do, right? One of my favorite things about being a parent is getting the perspective of how God looks at us as his children. And I never want to punish my daughter or take away something from her or make her cry, right? But I do it because I love her. And sometimes God tells us some things that we don't want to hear. Or he tells us or takes away some things that we wanted to have, right? And we are told when we become a new creature, that is to have a new authority, and we are to submit to that. And some of you here tonight are a new creature. If people from your past were to see you that you haven't seen in a few years, they'd say, "Whoa, is that you? You're a Billy Bible now?" You know, something, their little smart remarks, whatever. But there's a great change in your life. And your spouse knows it, and your kids know it. And you know what? That's an amazing thing. The people that you had, nobody had ever had a sober conversation with you till the day you got saved. Or what about the person who used to mock Christianity that then one day comes in and they're standing behind the pulpit giving you a testimony of how they got saved? Or you fill in the blanks, but when we are in Christ, the Bible says we will become a new creature. What about this? Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. All of these are familiar verses today. Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. The Bible says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Not only will we be a new creature, but we're going to have new affections. What does that mean? That means we're going to love what God loves. You know, some people hate going to church. And this is just a news flash, okay? But if you hate going to church, you're going to hate heaven, all right? And if you hate God's people, you hate the being here and all this, you're not going to have a fun time when you get there, because only God's people are going to be there. And we are to love what God loves. Do you understand that when you or I criticize the church or the pastor or the people in the church, that is Jesus Christ's bride? Sir, how would you feel if someone was talking about your wife all the time, just tearing her down? Or, ma'am, how would you feel if someone was just railing about your husband all the time? Or young people, you hear someone just talking bad about your parents. You'd feel terrible. You'd want to do something about it. And I assure you, Jesus Christ does not take lightly to us backbiting and tearing down his bride. We are to love what God loves. What about this? We're to hate what God hates. God hates some things that our culture loves. Pride. We have a whole month for it nowadays, right? And God does not love when we exalt ourselves. What is this saying? Pride made the devil, and it'll make a devil out of you. What about this? The love of money. From the time that we're little, our culture instills in us that you need to be happy. And the only way to be happy is to have lots of money, Obviously, you need to give your entire life. You need to miss church on a Wednesday or a Sunday night because you got to make some money so you can be happy. God hates the love of money. God hates time wasters. What do I mean by that? Well, Ephesians chapter 5 says that you walk circumspect, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. That the word redeeming means procuring deliverance from captivity by the payment of an equivalent. What does that mean? That means that not only are we to give up the things that waste our time, but we are to fill that time with something good in its place. God hates time wasters. We are to love what God loves, hate what God hates. We are to have a new affection. Here, I'll turn here. You don't necessarily have to turn, but Ephesians chapter number 4. I know we're using our Bibles a little bit tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 and 24 says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So we're to have a new affection. We are to be a new creature. What about this? We're to give God our mind. And our mind is often the last thing we get to. You know, I like to picture it like this. I'm not going to go through all your tissues, but that would actually be a pretty good illustration here. If you've got this box, right, of sin in your life, and you get saved, and you've been carrying around this box your whole life. Some of us, it's a little heavier than others, you know, and stuff. But this box of sin, and you know, you make the decision, I want to clean up my life. So what do? You start getting rid of some things. And some of them come fairly easy. Some of the things you really didn't want to be doing, you were only doing because of peer pressure anyway. You know, I don't know the situation, but there's definitely some things that you get saved, they begin to change right away. And then after a little while, you reach in there and you grab something, you say, whoa, I want to hold on to that one a little bit longer. And then you start working, and eventually you get to this point in your Christian life where all the sins that you're left dealing with are the ones that you are going to come back to. And that's kind of hard to deal with those sins. And a lot of those sins are the sins that are right between our ears. They're in the mind. And talking about having a renewed mind. When there is plenty of sin in our life to fix on the outside, we often target that first. And eventually, most of what we are left with goes on between our ears. Despite being what we target the least, it is often what costs us the most. You think about that, the things you think about. Nobody ever committed a sin that they didn't think about first. And those sins of the mind, the Bible says when we get saved, we will not only be a new creature, but we will also have a new mind. Being a new creature will make you open to change. Dying to self will cause you to begin to change. And then having a new mind will help us from changing back. Okay, those are some things that happen when we get saved. One last one here, Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18, I'm going to read it when I get there. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse number 4. The Bible says, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." Praise God for the promise that even though we were broken vessels, marred. You remember when you were like that? You remember when really you felt like nobody cared about you? You were a broken vessel, impossible to be repaired by anything that we could do. But God says that we can be made again. Made again. A new creature. Made again. And not only that, but made as seemed fit, as seemed good unto the potter. You know, it's not always fun getting on that wheel and getting molded into what God wants us to be. There's some trials with that. There's some struggles with that. But made again as seemed good for the potter to make it. You know, God always makes us better than we could ever make ourselves. If we're truly going to live for God, we will not only be made entirely anew, but we will be made as it seemed good for the potter to make us. That means that we're going to have to submit to an outcome different than we have always hoped for. Maybe there are some dreams that you and I had beforehand that we're going to have to give up. And I say all that, okay? I told you I was just laying a foundation, but it's really just one strong point that I want to drive home. Okay, I'm going to get ease into it, but one strong point I'll get to here in just a second. There is much for you and I to get right in our life. There are many things that you and I can do to please God with our life and maybe to get more blessings in our life. All those things are true. But the title of the message, the theme is this: we are made again, but we are still the same. Made again, but still the same. What do you mean? That does not make sense. Okay, well, let me explain. We were just in Jeremiah 18. If you turn back to Jeremiah chapter 1, okay? Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 5. Familiar verses, okay? We're talking familiar verses here. Made again, but still the same. What do I mean? The Bible says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. You know, before all of the radical change that took place in some of your lives, or really the radical change that takes place in all of our lives. Again, sometimes it's more external than others, but before that dramatic difference ever took place, God loved you and me. The Bible says in Jeremiah 1:5 that He created us. He formed us in the belly. He decided that I was going to have acne as a teenager. And He decided some of you were going to have acne. He decided that some of us were going to be a little taller than others. He knew all of that from the beginning. The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He created us. It says that He cared for us. He knew us. He knew everything there was to know. The Bible says that He knows the number of hairs on our head. Every time that verse is mentioned, somebody makes the joke. That's easier for some of us than others, right? But you know what? I think about it, and as my hair falls out, He's keeping track of everyone that falls out too. God cares for us. He knew what kind of home you and I were going to grow up in. And He knew that that was never going to be an excuse for us to not serve God. He knew exactly how we'd grow up. He knew the dreams we were going to have. He knew that we may have to give some of those up. Not only did He create us, but He cared for us, and He also called us. Before we ever sucked a breath in this world, God had a calling on you and I's life. I believe He has a calling for every person that's in here tonight. He wants to use you more than you even want to be used. And how about this? One last verse tonight. Now, this is my favorite one. You know, I made the claim that God loves us, okay? But I want you to turn to Romans chapter 5, okay? I'll ask you to turn to this one, Romans chapter 5. Made again, but still the same. Romans chapter 5, super familiar verse again. But Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He created us, He cared for us, He called us, and He commended His love toward us. All of that before the radical change. Long before your life began to reflect what God knew that it would be. Long before we began to get that sin out of our life. Long before you looked like you do today, God loved you. Even while you were at the peak of your godlessness, when you wanted nothing to do with Him, when as a matter of fact, you would have loved if He never reached down to save you at all, God loved you. Even when He was the only one who did, God loved you. Hopefully you could sit here today and say, yes, I've become a new creature. I have become a new man. I've given God my mind. But the reminder is this: you may have been made again, but the one thing that has remained the same through all of it is that God loves you. Why is it important for me to give you this thought? Why is it important? We know God loves us, but here's what happens. Self-worth is at an all-time low in the world, and really even in our churches, I believe, because this is what the devil does. You and I, we've got that box of sin and the one that we've been struggling with for a long time. We talked about the sins that so easily beset us, the weights even from the sins. But whatever the thing is, okay, I'm not even going to get specific tonight, but whatever that thing is that you know, man, this has just got a grip on me. And we struggle with it. And by the way, if you're not struggling with sin, most likely that's because you've just given in, okay? It's not because there's nothing to struggle with. But as you struggle, the devil, he comes and sits on your shoulder and gives you the, man, you're never going to get over that. You know, God may want to do something with you, but He never will as long as you're... And we get so discouraged by that. So beat up over the thought that I know God wants to use me for X, but I can't get over this. And the point here tonight is that you don't need to take care... The point is not that you don't need to take care of the sin in your life. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. That's not what I'm saying. But here's the point. Maybe some of you have just gotten to the point where you decided I'm going to stop struggling. I'm going to give up because I cannot shake whatever this thing is. I am not the new creature that I'm supposed to be. God made me again, but I'm marred again. But the reminder tonight is that long before you ever got right, long before you ever began to get the sin out of your life, before you had any part in the process, God had already created you and cared for you and called you and commended his love towards you. And that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. God loves you. Jesus died for you. But for 33 years before he died for you, he lived for you. And the challenge today is live for him. Be a new creature. Give your mind to Jesus Christ. Do all those things. But as you stumble along the way, as the inevitable struggles come, remember, I am made again, but I'm still the same. God has loved me through every bit of it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight, Lord, and the opportunity to be here. What a privilege it is to get to preach your word, Lord. And I pray that those verses, Lord, even much better people could have preached the message, Lord, and the love of God, Lord, could never be encapsulated in a message. But Lord, I pray that if there was just one person tonight that needed to hear that despite their struggles, Lord, you still want them to succeed. You still want to use their life, Lord. I'm so thankful that you'd use mine. I know I don't deserve it. And Lord, I just pray that you would work in hearts tonight. I ask that every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If you're here tonight and you say, I haven't been made again. You know, I maybe I've gone to church or maybe it's my first time here, but either way, I do not know for sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. If that's you, if you're not 100% sure that you'd go to heaven, would you be honest and raise your hand tonight? I would just like to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. But if you do not know that, I'd like to pray for you. All right, if there's anyone here that would say, you know what? Maybe there's been some things that I'm struggling with, and I needed that encouragement to know that God loves me and still wants to use me. If that's you, would you be honest and raise your hand tonight? I'd like to pray for you. Hands everywhere. You're not alone in that. And so I'd invite you tonight, as the music begins to play, if you'd like to take care or make a decision or deal with something, I would encourage you to maybe come down to the altar and talk with the Lord for a little bit.